When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, folks. You're all very welcome back to the Celtic Soul podcast, available across all platforms, Apple, Acast, Spotify. And you'll also find us, if you like the look of us, on YouTube at Celtic Fanzine TV. It's been a while since I spoke to Matt. It's been a couple of weeks. But before I kick off, I'll just give a quick introduction to Matt McGlone. Matt McGlone is well known to Celtic supporters. And because it's a Talk of the Terrace podcast, it's good to have a man on that has stood on many terraces throughout Scotland, at Celtic Park and beyond, and in Europe. And he's always a few good stories about Europe to tell us. Matt, you're very welcome back to the Celtic Soul podcast. Alternative view editor, Sales for Change, main man. Is there anything else I can say about you that will sum you up?
Nah.
I like to build up my guests, you know, get their ego going. But Matt, there's no ego with us anymore. We're too old now for ego. We've been run out of town by all the young bucks on the podcasts.
The young bucks are taking over.
Aye.
What can I say?
The golden oldie show here. We're like nicey and smashy off Harry Enfield.
I actually thought being a Celtic da was a sort of accolade, you know, that you had been there and seen it, done it with Celtic, travelling everywhere, brought your kids up Celtic fans. But it seems like it's a bit of a slag, is it not?
Well, I did get a bit of a last year when things weren't going too well. There was a lot of it on social media. These old Celtic dads, what did they know? But you know what? We only watch the same game. No matter what age you are, we all watch the same game. Matt, last Sunday, we watched a game in Dingwall. A tough place to go, but Celtic should have been out of sight by half time. Kyogo was on fire, and maybe on another day he could have had three or four before we went in for the break.
Well, exactly right there. They could have killed off any sort of feeling that Ross County were going to do anything pretty quickly. The goal was fantastic, a great cross, and he let Henry Larsson, you know, from standing still rather than running at it. You get a great height on it. But I think when a striker's been out for a while, I mean, he's been out since December. Other strikers will tell you that it takes you a while to get your sharpness back. In saying that, at our old age, there was one that he missed that the keeper stuck out a left hand that we would have put away. Correct?
Well, maybe you, I don't know. You've obviously never seen me playing.
Well, probably never seen me playing either, but I just felt, you know, the one that hit the open goal and it bounced back to him, maybe it came too quick, I don't know, but the job was done, and, I think Celtic showed a great attitude on the day. The attitude from the start was attack, and from the first minute we had them pinned back. Now, your big man Ross Callaghan should have been off the park. A couple of over-the-ball tackles, he got a booking for the second one. But and he didn't seem to do much after that. But, you know, it was a bit of a rough house. You know, I felt our players had to watch their ankles a wee bit when they were going for balls and when they were getting challenged for balls. I felt, okay, I get it's a physical game, I understand that. But I just think sometimes that, you know, if that's all you've got, you're trying to stop a team who are trying to play football, then it's a pretty poor show. Hope you're listening, Malky McKay.
There was plenty of naughty tackles, all right, especially in the first half. They were trying to, you know, stamp their authority, but Celtic were dominating play. And I was reading, I think it was Graham Spears on Saturday, his article in the newspaper, and he was writing about how Angers always finished strong in Japan, and in Australia the league goes to a playoff, something like the Gaelic leagues. And so he was saying that, you know, getting strong. So I'm saying, well, I hope so. But two players who started off the season on fire looked very good, you know, on Sunday. And that was Jota and Kyogo. And they linked up. The ball in for the goal was absolutely brilliant. And as you say, the height, Larsson-esque, the height he rose, to, you know, to, for a little man to put that in the net, you know, and give us really, you know, take the nervousness away from us. Because, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm always nervous, that, you know, when it's so close, and especially this time of the season. Because, you know, you're in touching distance, but we all remember Helicopter Sunday, you know.
I've adopted a different psychological approach to these games over the last couple of years for a couple of reasons. And I just find that, you know, once the game started, you know, or the build-up to it, there's nothing that you or I can do to affect it. So I look at, you know, what the situation is with the team, our players against their players and our management against their management and our momentum against their momentum, and it fills me with confidence. So I try to stay pretty chilled, you know. I wouldn't say I'm pretty chilled during the 90 minutes, but in the run-up to the game, you know, I'm pretty unfazed, because I just think there's nothing you and I can do about it. And if you look at all the circumstances I just mentioned, then we shouldn't have any doubts at all. But it was a big test for Celtic players. There's absolutely no doubt about that. You know, coming back from a defeat, and I think Ange said after the game, you know, the perfect phrase, you know, we lost the game in extra time and we haven't lost our momentum. And, you know, we get back on the rails again, straight into the momentum again, the good momentum we've had, you know, at Ross County. And the team answered a lot of questions for me. They showed a lot of character. You know, it's been a long season, and it's been a season that these players have been put under enormous pressure to come into the club, get themselves settled into the club, to understand the psyche of what Celtic are about, and most of all, to understand the demands of winning. Because a lot of players who've come from other teams are not used to winning. I mean, Matt O'Reilly came from MK Dons. No offence to them, but they're not used to winning cups and trophies. So the demands and the expectations are very high. And I think our players have grasped that really quickly. And that has been a big part of our success. In total, with the support, they understand the expectations.
Yeah, man, and the expectations are so high within the support. And I think because we didn't, you know, we had a shaky start and then things settled. And I just think that, you know, momentum has built all season. And we have been, you know, I think we've been surprised by Ange, if we're honest. And he's, you know, we've grown to love him, you know. As you said on Twitter, I think earlier or yesterday, you know, he just arrived with a suitcase full of jumpers.
Dad jumpers.
So unless you're a football nut or an anorak, you know, there wasn't a lot you knew about Ange. And
I had never heard of him at all. I'd never heard the name, and I was thinking some of the broadcasters are going to be struggling to say his second name. Of course, he quickly used to it. But when he came in, first thing you do when you don't know about MD is you look up the past. You know, and he had, you know, won in Japan, had managed the Australian national team, which I didn't know, and he'd won trophies in Australia. So I thought, well, why not? You know, we seem to harp back to Eddie Howe again. He seems to be doing quite well at Newcastle. But, you know, we seem to have all our eggs in one basket with Eddie Howe for 2 or 3 months, and Ange was sort of plucked out of the sky the same day that Eddie Howe had said no. I think Eddie Howe said no around about 1 o'clock on a Friday. And I think Ange was first mentioned at 5 o'clock that same day. So they obviously, you know, had been looking at him. It'd be pretty poor management, you know, to be just looking at one person and not have any backup at all. So he was obviously in and around there. And when he said recently, you know, he just wanted the job, he would have walked to Celtic Park. I know we've heard all that kind of chat before, but I actually believe that he was just wanting the opportunity to manage a club like Celtic and wasn't too interested in, you know, maybe who he could bring with him. Obviously brought nobody with him. So that just shows you the amount of confidence that guy's got to walk into a place. I mean, to this day, you and I walk up to Celtic Park and we feel quite in awe of the whole situation. Imagine walking up there on your own, a suitcase full of dad jumpers. That was a joke, obviously, you know. But you don't know any background team. You don't know any of the staff. You don't know the people round about you. That takes, you know, big kahunas. It really does. And as you see, we've grew to love them. And I remember just looking at the first issue of the Alternative View the other day, the first issue when he came. And I said, you know, you have our full backing, let's go. And it's been that way since. I think Celtic fans and support in general by nature always give somebody a chance. I think we have underdog mentality anyway. So when you have underdog mentality, you always try and embrace somebody new coming in to join your fight. And everything we do with Celtic is a fight. The very culture in the country that we live in, the games and the referees we play against, everything is a fight. So he's come in and embraced everything. And I just think, you know, tremendous. And somebody said to me the other day, yesterday, online, I don't think it'll be long before big teams from England come looking for Ange. Well, you know, I'm quite comfortable about that because I don't think that will happen for one reason, that I don't think fame and money is Ange's God. I think if he feels happy in a place, I think if he feels settled, and I think if he feels importantly that he's backed and his aim for what he wants for Celtic, I don't think he would want to look anywhere else. Not getting back into the Brendan Rodgers situation, but I always felt Celtic were a stepping stone for Brendan. You know, I just felt like, you know, first good opportunity and he'd be off, which was proved right. So, you know, enough said about that. But I don't think Ange is of that character. I think Ange, if he's happy with all the aspects I mentioned there, he wouldn't want to be going somewhere else. I think he's a builder. He likes to build things. And he's built a team here. And I think, you know, if he disappeared tomorrow, he'd be pretty much, you know, unhappy about the fact that what he was building, they couldn't see right to the end. So I think that's his aim. You know, he's happy with what he's doing. And I don't think there's any problem with him leaving Celtic in the next 2-3 years at least.
Yeah, like, as you said, Matt, you know, he arrived up with a suitcase on his own. And he did say, I'll have a look at, if you listen to Dermot Desmond's recent rare interview, he talks about Ange coming and saying, I'll have a look and I'll see what I need. And we know he inherited the coaching staff, and after the season we'd had, no one was too happy with John Kennedy and Strachan staying there. But Big Mick's involved in the setup now as well. No one's complaining about the backroom staff this year, and it's the same backroom staff. So Ange's happy with them. But yeah. one player that never got a look in, you know, for years was Tony Ralston. And I thought himself and Greg Taylor on Sunday were outstanding. And I think Greg Taylor has improved under Ange as well. And I just thought the two of them on Sunday played really, really well. You know, overlapping, getting up the pitch, defending when they needed to defend. Because Ross County came out in the second half, gave it a go, but I never felt that we were under threat.
Yeah, well, I think all those points you've made there are very pertinent. On the first one, the backroom staff, Ange has walked in and he wants things done a certain way. Now, he's never worked with these people before, so they must be doing what he has asked. They must be assisting the aims that he has. They must be carrying out the jobs the tasks that he's given them. Each person seems to have a particular task. If you notice when Celtic put a sub on, Ange doesn't get involved at all. It's generally Gavin Strachan speaks to the two players. So there's a pre-laid out plan here of who does what. When a sub comes on, you know, sometimes you see the manager getting back in. The subs are made. They speak to generally Gavin Strachan. He's shown them something on his laptop, the famous laptop. But whatever that does, it seems to work. So therefore, Ange's total trust in the people that's come in, or that he's come in to work with, rather. On the players, again, the same philosophy. You do a job for me, you'll always be in my team. So if I was a player, Ange is my type of guy, straight talker, no nonsense, no backstabbing. He's the kind of guy I could sit and have dinner with 7 days a week. So I would think that Ange is in the dressing room and he's saying to them, you trust me because I'm going to trust you when I put you out in that park. You do a job for me and you'll be in this team for good. So the players who probably weren't doing so well last year that you mentioned and a couple of other ones, you know, they've buckled down and they've made that place their own. Tony Ralston doesn't play every game, but I get the feeling that he just likes to be there, part of the squad, knowing that if he plays two games out of six, he's perfectly happy. That day might change. That situation might change someday. But, you know, at the minute, he just seems so happy. He's got a new contract, so happy to be part of a squad that's going places. So the philosophy with the players and the background team that you mentioned is that these people are doing well because Ange has trusted them and they, importantly, have answered the call of the particular position and the task that...
Yeah, Matt, and goal at the start of the game, early in the game, goal at the end of the game, send us all down the road happy. And then, you know, straight away, the talk is, you know, all the regulars, all the season book holders will be in Celtic Park, but you got some people who will be travelling from the States and travelling from abroad, you know, on the hunt for tickets. So, you know, it's going to be a packed stadium on Sunday. Well, 2-2 with them in fixtures this year. First game wasn't really Ange's team. Didn't do too bad. They got the result. Then brought him to Celtic Park midweek and we turned in a first half performance that was delightful to watch. And I think we were high, you know, without drink or drugs after that game because they were just so good. Then we go to Ibrox and get a result. And then we're a bit deflated after losing the cup because, you know, although we got used to winning trebles, you know, they are a hard thing to win. But we're 2-2 now, Matt. We're at home. We win the game. The league is ours by the mathematics. If they get a win, does it build their momentum? You know, is a draw, are we happy with a draw, Matt? Where does Matt McGlone sit on this one?
Once again, I look at all the aspects that I mentioned earlier on, the character in the team, the quality of the players that we have, the fact that we're at home. And I say to myself, why would I be thinking that we can't win this game? That's exactly where I stand on it. I just look at all the factors and I think very confident going there. Celtic urged on by, you know, the crowds in a game to literally win the championship will actually play out their skins. Every single sinew and muscle in the players' bodies will be going 100 miles an hour to win this game. That's difficult to beat. Plus, I think we've got a bit of character about us now. Ange's built a good character into the team. So the players have the character, they have the skill, they have the fans behind them. And I don't have any fears about Sunday. I don't even know what the bookies' odds are at the minute, but I would be pretty much sure that Celtic would be favourites for this game.
Oh, I think so, the home advantage. Plus, you know, we're top of the table as well. You know, from a negative to a positive under Ange, it's been it has given us confidence, Matt. And like, okay, you're always going to be a bit cocky going into games against them because, you know, you're going to be thinking with your heart, you know, over your head sometimes. And we have over the decades, we've gone into games where we've, you know, we've thought, we can do this, we can do this. But at the end of the day, we didn't. But this is one, Matt, we can do, and we can make, you know, we can make it a great end to another good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, the task of winning a championship, it's very difficult, you know, 38 games or whatever, right through the season. And there'll be lapses during that season where things are not going well in your life, your body's not quite in the way you want it, and some performances are down. But let's say we're all standing in the dressing room this Sunday, and Ange's team talk is, every one of you here that I've picked out and all the substitutes, you guys stand on the edge of history here. You stand on the cusp of a fantastic season. You stand ready to claim victory in the championship, a game that will change your lives. And every single fan out there, well, apart from them, 700, whatever it is, every single Celtic fan out there is depending on you. And you can be a hero forever because people will never forget your names. Go out in the jersey and go out and prove to yourself that you're a champion and that you can win a title in your first season, because this will never be forgotten. Go and make history. Now, if somebody said that to me in a dressing room, you know, I would be absolutely kicking the door out to get onto that park. And I'm pretty sure that Ange's team talk will be as simple and straightforward as that. Just go and do what you're good at. You're very good at your job. You've proved it. You're 6 points clear with four games to play. Go out and finish the job. Go and prove it. We beat them on Sunday. We just have to draw with Haps and the league's over the following Saturday. That's all it needs. I don't see us losing Saturday, it's Sunday rather. I don't see us losing the following week against Hearts.
Full of confidence, Matt. That's what I like to hear.
Well, why not? I mean, you don't get into any battle or situation in life, you know, feeling scared. You have to say, can do. I was always brought up in my family, if I said I couldn't do that, that my attitude, particularly from my mother, was, no, you can do that. Why can't you do that? Go and do that. When you're younger and you say, I can't do that, my mother would always say, of course you can do that. Why can you not do that? Go and prove it. Go and do it. And I think that, you know, when we get into a battle with Celtic, we have to adopt the attitude that we can do. For all the reasons I've said, we're good enough. We are good at our jobs. We have got to this stage by playing good football. You know, turning around with a 26-point loss last year, to 6 points at the minute. You know, I think that the minute we clinch this league, the earlier the better. We'll probably win the league by more than 6 points. You know, I don't think this is going to be a helicopter job.
Oh, I certainly hope not. Matt,
No helicopters. No helicopters in my head.
No, well, definitely not. I'll not be in a helicopter. I'll be in a cheap Ryanair flight.
If I see a helicopter on the last day of the season, it could make me with the last time you'll see me.
but on a serious note, Matt, right, you saw the strength on the bench on Sunday. You know, the players, it must have been frightening for the Ross County players when they seen what was going off and what was coming on. Now, with the exception of Juranovic, everyone's fit, I think, for Sunday. You know, these are brilliant selection headaches for the manager. And, you know, there's a couple of positions that there's, you know, a few people vying for. You know, a lot of the other positions that the lads have nailed the jersey to their back. You know, it's two centre-halves, the goalkeeper. But, you know, there's two kind of, like, you know, does Kyogo start? I think he does.
Yeah, well, you see, I've always looked at this situation, is it Giacomakis or is it Kyogo? And the way I've sort of tried to work this out is it's not actually one or the other. It's both. Because I think that particularly as Kyogo is just coming back from injury and Giacomakis is just coming back from injury as well, that neither are going to be a first start for 90 minutes. You know, I think that, you know, they'll both maybe play a part in the game. Because of the fitness balance to get things going. You know, something that kind of stuck out for me in the semi-final game was Celtic lacked a wee bit of physicality in midfield in the cup. And, you know, everybody's sort of crying out for Giacomakis because he's got that physical presence and he has a bit of a target man. Kyogo just coming back from injury, Maeda, they're not physical players and they didn't pose any physical threat to Rangers. But Ange might look at this, because Rangers are full of big physical guys, he might look at this for a bit of balance. He might think that Giacomakis, just because of his physicality, might start the game. I mean, I couldn't second guess. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I'm probably obviously wrong. But, you know, he might think that. Who knows? But I think both players will play a part in the game. I think there's no doubt about that, that, you know, both are maybe, you know, sort of selected to change things about up front. And I'm really looking forward to it.
And Jota and Maeda on the wing, or does Abada get a start?
Well, Abada's shooting recently has been atrocious. I mean, he's been shooting off over the bar, miles over the bar the last couple of games. I don't know. I think Maeda is a guy you have to say definitely starts. He doesn't give defenders a minute's peace. Doesn't give a fullback a minute's peace. You know, he's everywhere. He's like human dynamo. And Jota obviously has to start. Yeah, probably go with those two, aye. But, you know... I think Celtic Rangers games, because Rangers' physicality, I think Ange might look at a couple of different alternatives. If Beaton's fit, you know, could there be a place for him, because he's a bit more physical. In the Cup semi-final, I was standing thinking of players who could sort out that midfield. Not being highly critical, but we did falter a bit in midfield, and the game turned for them when they brought on Arfield and Davis. Two physical players, old heads. And I was thinking, Davy Hay, imagine having a Davy Hay in there. Davy Hay would have just put in tackles at the right time, showed a bit of steel. You know, Scott Brown, that type of player. I think we kind of missed a bit of physicality, and I think that's what ended up winning Rangers the game in the semi-final, that they changed their midfield and we brought in two players that had no effect in the game at all.
Yeah, and that physicality didn't help with the referee.
You know, I love the way Ange doesn't discuss referees. Part of me wants him to say, but then the other part of me sort of says, and he's doing very well not mentioning it, he's been diplomatic, he's holding his counsel. I was talking to a couple of friends last night about this, and I was thinking, you know, up at Aberdeen, when they played Aberdeen, they sent a dossier into the SFA, complaining about the referee, it was Kevin Clancy, a 7-8 point, whatever it was, 13-point dossier, complaining about the referee's decision. And I don't think Clancy's refereed a game since. And that sort of tells me, if you complain, you get somewhere. But we don't complain, we maybe don't get anywhere. Well, do you hold your counsel forever? Because I think some of the refereeing decisions this year have been absolutely shocking, particularly in that semi-final. You know, players grappling, you know, our players jumping on their backs and, you know, situations like that. Lindstrom seemed to just foul at will the entire day long and, you know, get away with it. So, yeah, the referee situation doesn't concern me a great deal for Sunday. But... if we look at past refereeing displays, they're either very poor at their job or else there's something wrong with their eyesight.
Yeah, now there's one other position that may be up for grabs, because Bidon is a good call, because a lot of people mentioned him after the Cup game. You know, they were saying, look, we needed someone, you know, we needed someone with a bit of muscle in there, and, you know, in the absence of a Scott Brown, Bidon's probably the most physical player we have to go in there, and, you know, he's big and strong. But I can't see him coming in this game at home. I think Tate is. I think the midfield. You know, McGregor and Tate, but, you know, does Rodic start? Does one of the other boys come in? There's kind of three can play in that role, you know.
Well, he's, as you've seen, since he's brought in Matt O'Reilly, he's swapped Rodic and Matt O'Reilly around. I think there was one game they played together. It didn't work out. So since it's been either or, and sometimes it's been either or during the same game. No, I agree with you. Probably won't play Beaton. But I was just sort of thinking of a physical presence, as I'm sure you were there, if there was a physicality needed there. He didn't travel to Ross County the other day there. He wasn't in the squad for the semi-final. Ange has been asked about it, and he said that Beaton's got a small issue. Didn't say what the small issue was. It could be on or off the park. It could be maybe he had COVID and he's not returned from COVID as fit as or as strong as he wanted to be. I've got no idea. I'm just speculating. But, yeah, I think he'd be an important player to have on the bench, because that's the only threat I see from Rangers, their physicality. And, you know, some of our players, you know, Hatate looks to me to be running on empty a wee bit. You know, he's doing his very best and great. But, you know, he's had a full season elsewhere, as Maeda has. And, you know, this is their closed season, so they haven't had a break at all. You're asking an awful lot of players. You're asking an awful lot. You know, because the body is a machine, and with all the sports scientists at Celtic Park, at Lennox Town, you know, they have players finely tuned, and you can't be finely tuned forever. You have to have a rest. So Atati maybe looks like he's a wee bit tiring, but he is a very good player, and his passes are fantastic, and he seems to get a lot of the ball in midfield. So, yeah, I would imagine he would play. But maybe Ange will look at the physical aspect of what Rangers have and maybe tinker things a wee bit, thinking what happened in semi-final. Who knows?
Matt, before we wrap up, can you just take us back in time to one of your favourite Celtic Rangers games? Or did I catch it on the hub?
No. Well... because I'm the oldest person on this programme, I've seen quite a lot of Celtic Rangers games. But the one I think that stands out for me, which, I mean, no, there's a great selection here. I'm thinking of one game, but there's other games running through the back of my head. But the most recent one was 22 years ago, Martin O'Neill's first Celtic Rangers game at Parkhead. You know, when a bit like this season, we had lost the season. I think we'd lost the previous season by 21 points when Barnes and Dalglish were doing their thing there. And I think it was big Chris Sutton scored after a few minutes. And I think the buzz, the excitement, the noise, and the atmosphere of that game just riveted right through you from your head to your toes. And it's something that sort of lived with me for a long time, that particular victory. And just because the way we had done it, we had ran over the top of them. And when Henrik, you know, beat Konterman and then chipped Kloss, you know, it was a beautiful sunny day. It was a day made in heaven. If I ever want to know what heaven looks like, I felt I was in heaven that day. That was just fantastic. 6-2. It was a most wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, Matt, it's one that sticks out in my mind. Again, the sunshine. We got back on the bus after the game. We used to sit in the jocks doing upper, and I remember when they scored. I just seen me mate Hilly, and he was just running up and down the steps. He wasn't even just looking for someone to celebrate with. You know, he wanted one of his own mates, and then I seen him grabbing his brother at one stage, and it was just, that's a memory that sticks in my mind from that day. And I'll always remember the session on the boat going home that night. It was it was the arrival of Martin O'Neill. You know, the pressure was on him to deliver in that first game. And I was at the Willie Maley Memorial Committee for the statue that they're building in Newry. They had a big night in Celtic Park on Friday night. Sold out show, great night. But Martin O'Neill was the guest man, and he spoke about that 6-2 game, and like, it just brings so many happy memories back. You know, that 90 minutes was, it was just, as you said, it was just a special, it was just a special, wasn't it? It was like...
Yeah, it was special. I think it's because of the situation prior to where we had been down in the dumps, and the way we had come back in such a spectacular fashion. You know, we've beaten them by 5 since, you know, with Dembele and, you know, various Edwards and scoring. But I think the circumstances prior to the 6-2 game, where we had been sort of down there, new manager coming in, it was just fantastic. I mean, we rattled in 3 goals, I think, within 15 minutes. And then, you know, we're all turned around looking at each other, I always see these results. I always turn around and say to my children or my friends who are sitting there by me, you know, we can get 7 here, you know. It's this daft thing you have in your head. We beat them 7-1 and you're thinking it's 3-0 after 15 odd minutes. We could get 7 here. And somebody's going, no, we could get 8. And it's like, it's just that childish, boyish enthusiasm that you have that Celtic give you. Even when I'm older now and you're whatever, everybody who's older will always have that impish, boyish enthusiasm of what Celtic can do and the buzz they can give you. You mentioned earlier on there, you know, that after the 3-0 game there, we didn't need any drink or drugs. That again was that day. You just don't need any additives at all.
Yeah, no, and I always remember a pal of mine went into the shop on the boat. I think we were coming home with the slow boat, which we don't normally like, but it was brilliant that day because it was an extra hour and a half drinking time on the boat with your mates. And he went in and he bought a little penny whistle in the shop. And that's what started the sing song. He playing the tin whistle, and it was just one of them days where everything was just perfect, wasn't it? The weather, the results.
Aye, it was because at that time they were buying their way through all sorts of big time players with money that we now know that they didn't have, money that they should have used to pay debts and various other things. But they didn't. They were overpaying players and these EBTs and all this kind of stuff. And Advocat is always a guy that sort of sticks out in my mind as being part of that scene. And to see Martin O'Neill, you know, that great picture of him with the black trackies on, the tucked in white polo shirt, jumping up in the air like a wee boy. You know, it's just that image lives with you forever. It just showed you. I mean, if Andy ever wanted to know, could a manager connect with the support? There's your picture right there. Because nobody does that by putting it on. That is sheer inside elation that just goes right through you. And we identified with him. He identified with us. We absolutely humped him big time. And, you know, that was, yeah, I've got to say, off the top of my head, probably my best the last 30 years Celtic Rangers game.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps on what a signing Chris Sutton was.
Oh, big Chris. I love Chris. I've met Chris a few times. I've got to know him a wee bit. And, you know, he's a cracking big guy, big easygoing guy. And I remember his previous agent telling me that his nickname was the Pony. And I've never seen that written anywhere. And apparently it's because of his style of running that they nicknamed the Pony. So, you know, if you're listening to this, Chris, you can tweet me and let me know if that's true.
Yeah, and his old strike partner, John Harton, was calling out referees last week as well, which was refreshing. Without saying, you know, but I thought it was great the way he came out and said, you know, if you support the team in England, you can't referee them. And he said that's the way it should be in Scotland. Now, the only thing in Scotland was to be very few referees left.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. That if you ask a referee what team he supports here, then he's never going to be refereeing a Rangers game in his life again.
You know? Might drink in the bars, but...
As we know, they do drink in the bars, you know. And as we're doing this broadcast, I think they're putting out who the referee's going to be on Sunday. I don't know who it is, but it looks like it's going to be beaten. So him again. Bit of a school teacher attitude he has with players, you know. Come here, you know, and there's no humour about him. I think the best referees are the guys that can have a bit of humour and try and let the game flow without trying to be the centre of attraction themselves. Referee should never be the centre of attraction in the game. He should just be the guy that's, you know, saying what's right and what's wrong, let the players go on with it.
Yeah, some referee's performance. Sorry, Matt, a good referee's performance is the one you don't notice.
Yeah, exactly. But as I say, some referees like to be the centre of attraction. I think he's one of them. That was interesting comments for John. And I like the fact that John comes out with these kind of things. That's Chris Sutton and a couple other people. And then there's hardly anybody else who's a commentator in Scottish football or who will make these kind of comments. But it's very true. What's the point of having VAR if you've got a bunch of Rangers fans? See, looking from our perspective, And I might be slightly flippant here, but what's the point of having VAR if, say, you have a bunch of Rangers supporting decision makers watching the game? No, their decisions are going to overrule VAR, the very reason VAR's there for. So he was quite right to say we should maybe bring up referees from down south who have no affiliation to any team here. You're right what you're saying. You know, in England, you have to say what team you support or you supported as a boy. If you turn around and say Man United, you're not going to be a referee in Man United games. If you say Liverpool, you're not doing their games. But you're right, up here, teams you support, seven of them, Rangers, Clyde, Arbroath, Motherwell. You know?
But, like, with the refereeing thing, Matt, right, if I was refereeing a Saturday game, I would be biased. And it's only natural. So these referees are biased. You know, it's just the way it is. No matter what sport you're in, if you're a boxing judge and it's a close fight, you're going to give it to the home boxer. If you're the home judge, that's just the way it is. That's just you know, and obviously there's a lot more at play when it's Celtic and Rangers. But yeah, the refereeing is just. But you know what? We could have a whole podcast on referees, and John Fallon could probably have a soap opera on referees.
I love chatting to John about referees.
Oh my God. I'd say I get a message every day about referees, and the one he messaged me the other day was he was obviously watching Sky Ref Watch, and he said none of it again the other day.
I say he said it was no Sky Ref Watch the other day, didn't he?
But he never said he was watching Sky Ref Watch. He just messaged me, says I've got nothing about, and I was going, what's he on about? You know, and then about three texts later you find out he's watching Ref Watch.
I'll be seeing John soon. I'm going to a Celtic dinner that John's a guest at as well. And
he's brilliant.
I love John's company. You know, his stories are great, and he's got great energy for referees. That's the best way I can put it.
But we had John and George McCluskey at the More Than 90 Minutes dinner a couple of weeks ago in the number 10, and Aaron Boyle interviewed John. And you know, you're just
thanks for the invite, by the way.
I did invite you. You were invited. You never turned up. you weren't even on the bench, you were in the first team. You were on the table plan and all.
Oh, first I've heard of it 2 weeks after it. Carry on.
Don't worry, you can still send your ticket money. We'll stick you down for next year. But Aaron interviewed him, right? And
second's just arrived.
Yeah, there you go. There's your ticket. You're just waiting for John to come out with, you know, the referee. And you're just saying to Aaron, do not mention referees. Do not mention referees.
Yeah. No, John's great chap when it comes to referees, because, you know, if I ever thought that, you know, I had a problem with referees, then I know that John's got 10 times that problem. Probably 10 times yours as well.
He's magic. And this is the truth, right? That was, we'll say, 2 weeks ago, and we were at a wedding last Monday. Johnny McChrystal from the Ballymena Shamrock got married, and there's a couple of boys off from Glasgow, and John was over for the wedding. And the first thing he said to me was, did you see that bastard yesterday? And I knew who he was on about, right? That was the first thing. He didn't even say hello.
I've just received your invite here. Hang on. I'm just looking at it. What's today's date? 26th.
That's for next year.
Is there something I got wrong here?
That's for next year, right? That's a typing error. Anyway, Matt, right? Too much laughing going on. Now, this is the thing. You know, we're mature podcasters now. We need to be a bit more serious.
Yes, absolutely.
We shouldn't be having fun.
No.
You know, we should be giving out about referees.
Anyway, Matt, if we're doing one next week, I think we will be having fun.
Yeah, Matt, hopefully we can get time to do one next week because I know you're very busy with interviews with the BBC and Sky and Red Watch.
Nope, not me.
Matt, it's been a pleasure as always to chat to you, and it was nice because it's been a couple of weeks and we moved into our lovely new studio, but now we've no time to do it because we're back in the real world. There's no more, you know. Not that I want to lock down again, but we did have more time to do stuff. Look, it's been absolutely brilliant to chat to you. Always great to get an insight off you, Matt. As I said, you've been on the terraces a long time, and you're looking great for it too. You know, a little bit of grey going on, that Richard Gere look, you know, very, very Hollywood. We'll talk next week, Matt, and hopefully we'll be celebrating.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Fully confident, let's do it. We're good enough. Just go and do what you're good at.
Quick prediction.
3-1.
I'm happy with that, Matt. If you can give me the fourth goal scorer, I'd be even happier.
Chris Sutton.
Chris Sutton. 6-2. Sunshine.
A bit late your invite. Chris Sutton.
I can't believe you're still going on about invite. Get over it, will you?
See you later.
See you later, Matt. You've been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Folks, don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you're watching on Celtic Fanzine TV. And if you're on the podcast channels, hit subscribe as well. And don't forget to visit the website, CelticFanzine.com. Don't forget to buy your 10th view. And don't forget to buy more than 90 minutes. Thank you so much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.